You know, there's something about succulent plants that makes me think about exotic locales and the wonders of plants that have evolved effectively to meet the challenges of their environment. Maybe you feel that way too. These are intriguing plants. They grow all over the world. They grow in a variety of conditions. In fact, they grow right here in Wisconsin, even outdoors. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Our guest, Dan Marr. Dan's an emeritus professor of entomology at UW-Madison, also an avid grower of succulents. Dan, great to have you back with us.
It's good to be back, Larry, and it's going to be fun to talk about plants that grow in warmer climates, considering what we've been experiencing lately.
Oh, yeah, you've got that right. How did you, you're an entomologist by training, how'd you get interested in succulents?
Well, I guess that's a long story, but I think I was born a biologist. And biologists tend to be interested in anything in the natural world.
Sure.
And I grew up in Southern California, and on my grandparents' farm, my grandparents had a large cactus garden. And from the time I was very young, I really, really enjoyed the shapes and the textures and the flowers and whatnot. And so probably since the time I was 10, which was a long, long time ago, I've been growing cactus and succulents. When I was in college, I had a bunch of them in pots that I'd move around from college to college, and and some of those are still alive and still in my collection here in Wisconsin.
So. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, what's the definition of a succulent plant?
A succulent plant is just any plant that stores water primarily to get it through a dry period.
Okay.
So, you know, when you think about Wisconsin, we live in an area where we can have moisture almost any month of the year,
sure,
in the form of either rain or snow. And so we live in kind of a moist area. A lot of parts of the world can be dry for maybe 3 months or 6 months or 9 months of the year. And then there are the true deserts. And some of the true deserts may not get any rainfall at all for even years on end. And so plants that live in these dry climates have devised a variety of different ways to cope with that dry period, and storing water somewhere in the plant body is one way of doing it. So some of them do it by storing water in leaves. Others do it by storing water in stems, like most of the cacti that we think of. Some of them do it by storing it in large underground root, tuberous roots, great big tuberous roots. The water is stored there. So,
and a cactus is not a succulent, or is it a succulent?
All cacti are succulents. The term succulent refers to kind of a way of life. It doesn't refer to kind of a natural group of plants that are related to each other. It's a way of life. And you mentioned earlier that there are about 60 different plant families that have succulents. One of those plant families is the cactus family.
Okay.
So it's just one group. All cacti are succulents. But there are about 10,000 different types of succulents in the world, and about 20% or about 2,000 of those are true cacti, and the rest belong to other plant families.
And, of course, last month there were all kinds of holiday cactus delivered to homes or purchased by homeowners and those who have apartments, by a lot of people, let's put it that way. And now here we've got them, and what do we do with them?
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people use holiday cactus as kind of a seasonal thing, like a poinsettia, where at the end of the year when the flowers drop off, they don't know what to do with it, and so it ends up going in the compost or in the trash. But I think as we look around and we visit different places, you can see these enormous holiday cacti that are obviously years or even decades old, and in some cases passed down from generation to generation. And they bloom very prolifically during the holiday season. Holiday cactus is actually a true cactus. It doesn't have any spines on it, but it's a true cactus. And it has learned to live in a little bit moister climate. And it actually lives in nature in the mountains of Brazil. And in the rainforest, and they live as what we call epiphytes. That means they live stuck up in the branches of trees in the forest canopy. And so that's where they come from. There's a couple of different species, and over the years, plant growers have hybridized the different species, and that through that hybridization and selection process is how we get all the different colors that you see. Mm. Not only different colors, but the different species bloom at slightly different times. Some bloom earlier, some bloom later. And so some bloom a little closer to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Some bloom a little closer to Christmas. And then there are intermediates as well. And so to keep the Christmas cactus going or holiday cactus going from year to year, it's best to plant it in a soil that is fairly well drained, but with some good organic material in it. And water it as you would most any type of cactus or succulent. It doesn't like to stay uniformly wet for long periods of time. It does like water, but it likes to dry out between waterings. And give it a fairly bright location. Most all succulent plants like to have pretty good light. So a bright window is a good place to put it. And just keep an eye on it, and it should continue to grow and continue to bloom year after year.
These, I'm wondering about houseplants in general. What are the best conditions for growing them as houseplants, these kinds of plants as houseplants?
Probably the two areas that are most important is watering and the light.
Yeah.
And so most of these plants come from parts of the world where they get pretty bright light. You know, if people have traveled to our southwest, maybe Texas or Arizona, places like that, and have seen the cactus growing outdoors, you see them that they're exposed to really the brightest, hottest sunlight that you can imagine. And not all of them tolerate that much light. A lot of the smaller types tend to grow under shrubbery or amongst rocks where they get a little bit more shade, but they like bright light. So to grow best, give them as much light as possible. The other thing is watering. They, like any plant, they need water, but they don't like to have the roots sitting in moist soil for prolonged periods. So
yeah,
we like to use a well-drained soil mix. That is, you can use a commercial soil mix, but augment that with some coarse material, you know, pumice or gravel or something, so that there are some air pockets and spaces for the water to drain through. And then just don't water it continuously. Let it dry out. Let them dry out between waterings. And, you know, you follow those conditions and you should do pretty good with most types of cactus and succulents.
Are there some good starter succulents, by the way, that...
Oh, there's lots of them. Like I say, there's about 10,000 different types, and probably half of those are pretty easy to grow, and probably half of them are commercially available through the various specialty nurseries that grow cactus and succulents. But, you know, you can get a lot locally. Usually the ones that you can find in your local garden center or the large retail outlets that have garden center sections to them, most of those have been chosen so that they're fairly reliable plants. There are types of cacti, there are types of succulents that can do very, very well. Again, you know, try to give them as much light as possible and as good a soil drainage as possible, and they should do well.
Joanne in Green Bay has a question for you, so let's go to Joanne. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I do have one of those Christmas cactus you talk about, but mine, I think, is an Easter cactus. It blooms a little closer to Easter.
Yep.
With some nice bright red flowers. I just love it. The other thing I wanted to know about, my grandmother used to grow a plant. I don't know exactly what the name of it is, but it was a succulent. It had jagged leaves. And it got maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet tall, and it had little plantlets that grew on the edges of those jagged leaves, and they would fall off into the soil and plant another plant. And they had kind of a purplish tinge to them when they were in the bright sun. I was wondering if you knew what those were.
Yes, I sure do. That is a type of plant which... It has quite a few different common names. None of them are particularly good. Some people use common names on them that are not mentionable over the radio because all those little plants can become weeds in the right place at the wrong time. But
yeah.
So I'm going to give you a genus name, a scientific name, and that is Kalanchoe, and that's spelled K-A-L-A-N-C-H-O-E. Now, that may be a common name for you because there are some Kalanchoes that are used popularly in the forest trade. But there are many, many species, and there are some that produce these little tiny plantlets along the leaf edges, just exactly as you describe. There is another name that you can sometimes find these under. And if you do an internet search, you'll be able to eventually find pictures of these. But the other name is Bryophyllum. That's B-R-Y-O-P-H-Y-L-L-U-M, Bryophyllum. So some of the Kalanchoes have been put in that group. But sometimes they're called Mother of Thousands as one name, and but that's
it definitely was.
they're very attractive, and they do better. Like all of them, they do better with a little bit brighter light. The leaf coloration that you mentioned, kind of a purplish brown, that'll be a little bit more intense if they have a little bit better light as well. One comment about your Easter cactus. I mentioned holiday cactus, and I was talking primarily about the ones that we see this time of the year just past. Your Easter cactus can also be lumped into that category of holiday cactus, but it's a totally unrelated plant. It grows in a different area in nature. It's a plant of a different group, and its conditions are quite similar to the other holiday cactus that we talked about. But you'll never find an Easter cactus that blooms during Thanksgiving or Christmas, for example. They're two quite different plants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joanne, thank you.
Well, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And Steve in Sun Prairie, it is your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. One comment. I have a Christmas cactus that belonged to my great-great-grandmother.
Great-great.
I think it got into this country in maybe 1860. Or maybe a little bit later. And it just blooms beautifully every Christmas. And it's a testament for a plant for being very, very long-lived. The question I have, though, is this guy's been sitting in a east-facing window probably for 10 years, and I've never messed with the soil. Should I leave it alone, or should I actually try and change the soil?
You're talking about the holiday cactus, are you, Christmas cactus?
Yeah. Christmas cactus, holiday cactus.
How long have you had this plant? I know it's been in the family forever, but how long have you been taking care of it?
Maybe 30, 40 years.
Okay. And it's never been repotted in that period?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Good for you. You're doing something right. That's okay. Holiday cactus like to be a little bit root-bound, and that's pot-bound. That's one of the things that helps prompt them to flower a little bit better. It's not necessary for it to be that way, but it doesn't hurt them to be pot-bound. Generally speaking, we would like to see plants transplanted at least every few years to get them into fresh soil. That's for a variety of reasons. For example, depending upon what water you use, you could get a buildup of salts in the soil after a while. If the original potting mix had a lot of peat moss in it, over a period of time that peat decomposes and becomes a pretty bad substrate for succulent plants. So there are reasons for repotting periodically, but you telling me what the history of this plant is suggests that I wouldn't change a thing until such time as you see that it's no longer blooming properly. You know, if it looks like it's getting weak, if it looks like it's shriveling, if it looks like the stems are starting to drop off a little bit, then that's usually the time that indicates that there's a root problem of some sort. And I would do two things under those conditions. First of all, I'd start taking some cuttings and rerooting them. So if you did lose the original plant, you would at least have propagations off of it. And then I take the plant, unpot it, look at the soil system, the root system, take off all the old soil and put it in a new potting mix. But for now, just keep going. I think you're doing great with it.
And thanks a lot for calling, Steve. Appreciate your call. Dan Marr, our guest today, emeritus professor at the UW-Madison and expert on succulent plants. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Dan Marr about successfully growing succulent plants both indoors and out. And if you have a question for him, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. You can post a question and a photo as well, if you would like, at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Marty in Lake Geneva up next. Marty, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A friend of mine, Jerry and his wife, Sissy, have a little nursery out in Belleville called Spring Green Nursery, and he grows and sells succulents, among other things. And these are some of the strangest, most beautiful, abstract-looking things I've ever seen plant-wise. He's got some that are pure white, albino white. And the reason I'm calling is it just the thought just occurred to me while I'm driving. He mentioned something like, yeah, these things, you can just take a leaf off and stick it in the dirt, and it'll grow. Is this true?
It is with many. Many succulents are that way. They're very easily propagated that way. Some not so much, but taking cuttings is a very common way of propagating a lot of succulent plants.
Very, very interesting. I mean, if I don't know, this is for the older crowd. If you're watching the Jetsons, some of these things look like they would be on a coffee stand, you know, in the background. Yeah. Off the wall looking plants.
Oh, what's the name of the place?
It's called Spring Green Nursery in Belleville.
Huh.
And they're just some of the most bizarre, colorful looking things I've ever seen.
Ah. Marty, thank you.
Marty, I have to say that's why I got started with these. There's a national organization, the Cactus and Succulent Society of America, that has affiliated branches all over the country, in fact, all over the world. There is a Wisconsin Cactus and Succulent Club that meets in the Milwaukee area. And most of these organizations have shows, and these shows are just amazing to go to because the textures and the shapes and the colors and quite unlike any other group of plants.
This is true. I mentioned that to him.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate the call. Chris in Oregon. Your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a saguaro cactus that my brother started from seed, and it's now about a foot tall and probably 6 inches in diameter wide. And I have it crowded in with two other kinds of cactuses, and I need to put them in a new pot. But I have no idea how deep the root is and how deep a pot I should put them in. And will it stand up by itself when I do transplant it?
All good questions. How deep of a pot is it currently in?
It's in a pot about 12 inches deep.
Okay. And you say that it is about 12 inches tall?
Yes.
Okay. I suspect that the root system is pretty much filling up the current pot that it's in. A plant that size will have a pretty good sized root system. Yes, you can transplant it. Putting it into a pot of its own is a pretty good idea. Oftentimes, a lot of little succulents are put together in a dish garden, and after a few years, it becomes pretty obvious that some of those are going to grow a lot more vigorously and bigger than others. So when you get in a situation like that, it's good to divide them up and start over again with them. So putting it in a larger pot, I would put it in a, take it out of the pot that it's currently in, take the soil away from the root system, and look at the root system and use the size of the root system to decide what size of pot you're going to put it in. A plant that size will probably go pretty good in anywhere from a 6 to 10 inch pot, depending upon how big the root system is. You want the root system to pretty much fill up the pot. If the root system is your best friend for getting rid of excess soil moisture, because obviously the plant sucks up extra moisture from the soil, and the roots are the organs that do that. And so if you have a great big ball of soil and a very little root system, and you water that ball of soil, then you can be setting yourself up for root rot. So when you're repotting any type of a cactus or succulent, try to find a pot that matches the root system pretty well. Any sort of a potting mix that has a pretty good drainage in it, make sure it has a drain hole in it so that the excess water can drain out of it. And as a taller plant, you may have to stake it for a while, and you may have to stake it for 6 months or a year until the new root system gets established in the new soil. But after that, you should be able to take the stakes away.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thanks, Chris, for calling. Appreciate it. Ruth in Altoona, hello to you.
Hi. I have a question about a jade plant. You know, again, this has been in the family a long time, and I think you're answering a lot of my questions with the things that you're telling other people and the person that you just spoke with. But I do have a question about, you know, you said you take the plant out and the root system. I've done something like that once before. Can you talk a little more about how you really clean the roots out, and then how do you get soil sort of back into that root system in transplanting? I think I need to transplant this at this point. I've had it for maybe 5 years, and it's in a pot that I'm sure it's filled up, and the branches and stuff coming on now are smaller than the ones down below. I mean, not just smaller because they're brand new, but smaller over the years, it seems.
Okay, good questions all around there. So in transplanting this, removing it from the pot is the first step. And, you know, take a look at what that root ball looks like. If it looks like a good, healthy root system with a lot of nice white feeder roots throughout the root ball, then you're in pretty good shape. If it looks as if there aren't a lot of those nice white feeder roots, but there's a fair amount of dead root material, then we have to be a little bit more careful in how we go through the repotting process. So evaluate the root system first. And with good, healthy roots, it's pretty easy. You can use any sort of a tool you want to get the soil away from the roots. Get as much of that old soil away as possible. It's not necessary to wash the root system, but you can even do that if you want to. Wash it and then let the excess water drain away for a little while before you repot it. If there's a lot of dead roots in it, then trim a lot of that dead material back a fair amount. And if you do that, you may lose the structural support of the root system, in which case the plant will probably have to be staked again just to keep it upright until the new root system develops. But that's pretty much the basics of how to do it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you, Ruth, for calling. And Lucille in Luxembourg. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a very old cactus. It's called a orchid cactus, and I've been to many, places, and nobody seems to have it. And mine is probably about 100 years old. Anyways, my aunt gave it to me, and she could never get it to flower. When I lived in Two Rivers, I had natural gas. It started to flower just beautiful. And then I had propane gas, and it would never flower. Then I had oil, and it's for heating in the home, and it flowered. And now I'm back in propane, and it won't flower. So what can I do? I think it's got to be the propane.
That's interesting. I have never heard of that. So the plant has been in exactly the same place throughout all of these changes?
Well, in Oklahoma, we were, you know, we had propane, and then I was in Ohio, and I had oil, and now I'm back here in Wisconsin, and I have propane. But when I was in Wisconsin before, I had natural gas, and that's the only thing that I can come up with why it's not blossoming.
Well, there may be something there that I have never heard of, that I'm not aware of. The thing that I would think of, considering that you have actually moved this plant from location to location, is there is something slightly different about the lighting conditions. The main driving factors, two main driving factors in getting cacti and other succulents to bloom, one is the light and the other is the temperature. And if any of those things vary a little bit, then the plant will not produce as normal. So a lot of plants that I brought from California that bloom very successfully in California are not blooming for me under Wisconsin conditions, and it's because of our lower light conditions. So that may be the factor.
The thing is,
I was in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. It blossomed. I'm in Luxembourg, and it's not blossoming. So I'm in the same state.
Yeah. Here's another thing to think about. You are now using the most expensive of the three fuels.
Tell me about it.
And you may be running your house a little cooler.
Yes. Not really.
No? Okay. That was just a thought.
Yeah, because it wouldn't take much. About 70, 71.
It doesn't take too much of a change in lighting. So even though you're still in Wisconsin, two different houses, possibly two different amounts of light, two different exposures.
Tree,
which window, whether it's a south window or a west window.
The kind of window.
Facing south with the east, and I guess more east because the west side has got big trees over there.
Yeah.
I can't. Sometimes, Lucille, there's puzzles in this world, in the gardening world, that we just can't answer. But what I would suggest is maybe try to move it to a different window for a couple of years and see if it snaps out of it.
Yeah.
I've been to garden centers, and I've never seen anything like this plant there.
Could you describe the flower?
It's kind of like Easter, a Christmas cactus type flower.
Yeah.
But it usually, like when I was in Two Rivers, it blossomed from February to September, all summer long.
Beautiful. Very nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, shoot us a picture, Lucille.
I can't do that. I don't have a computer, but you can give me an address. I can send you one.
I tell you what, if you could do that, you could send one to Wisconsin Public Radio. Send it to me, Larry Mueller at Wisconsin Public Radio. And I was going to say the address is online, but it's 821 University Avenue. 821 University Avenue in Madison. And I will get it. And I will take a look at it, and I'll share it with Dan.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
I would love to have you do that. So it's just write to me, Larry Mueller, WPR. 821 University Avenue in Madison. The zip's 53706. And there you have it. And thank you very much for calling. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what this orchid cactus looks like. Mel in Monroe, it is your turn. Hi, Mel.
Hi there. I have about a 7-foot cactus. It's really kind of very unstable, and it's been that way for years, and I have to tie it up to a, you know, like a wall or whatever. I have to support it always, and I've replanted it about a year ago thinking that it just needed a larger pot, and the pot I have now is probably 18 inches tall and at least 12 inches wide. The root system did not seem to be huge, and so I'm wondering if I'm doing something wrong, you know, that I need a larger root system to grow to help support this 7-foot cactus. My sister called it a happy cactus. I have no idea if that's
I'm sure it's not. I brought it from California years ago.
Well, maybe it was happy when it was in California.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
Less happy in Wisconsin.
Oh, it was really tiny then, and yeah, it's about 24 years old now. So.
Well, if it's growing, then I think it's probably doing just fine. So is it loose in the pot? Is that the situation?
Yeah. I mean, well, at the base, no. I mean, it's not loose. It's just so tall and lanky that it just, there's so many offshoots, like little arms that come up out
right.
of it. It doesn't have one solid branch or stem. What do you call them?
Yeah, stem. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it has many, you know.
Does this plant ever get leaves on it?
It has tiny little leaves at the new growth.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's probably not a cactus. I think it's probably in a group that we call the euphorbias. Probably has milky sap, and it's a pretty common house.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it's
a pretty common house plant. It's not a problem if you want to trim some of those branches to try to get it in a little bit better balance. And any of those branches will re-root. So if you want to start it over.
I've done that.
Okay.
Given them away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other
than that, it's just going to be a matter of it's a very large plant. And, you know, how do you deal with something that's that tall it's going to be top heavy in most any pot that you put it in.
What did you call it again?
It's actually very closely related to our poinsettias and our garden spurges. It's in the group we call Euphorbia. That's Euphorbia, Euphorbia. And it has a variety of common names, but it's a pretty common houseplant, but that's what it is.
Yep.
But it looks like a cactus.
It looks like a cactus.
Pokey needles on it.
That's right.
Really?
That's right.
Really? Oh, my gosh. I always thought it was a cactus. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Good luck with it.
Thanks a lot for calling. Jeremy on Facebook sent us a photo. Dan, I don't know if you can you see it from your side there? That's a flowering jade.
That's beautiful, yeah.
And a beautiful jade plant.
Yeah, that's a good thing to bring up right now because a lot of people have never seen their jade plants flower.
Yeah. In fact, we got an email from Sheila from Columbus. They had one for 20 years and flowered once.
It flowered once. Again, it's a lighting issue. if you can move your jade plants outside during the summer months where they get pretty good sunlight, in nature, in South Africa, where they are found naturally, they grow in full bright sun. And in Southern California, they're used as landscaping plants, where they grow in full sun. And during the winter months, they're absolutely covered with kind of a very pale pink flower. So putting it in bright sun will really help getting a jade plant to bloom.
We have Troy in Platteville with a question for you. Hi, Troy. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wasn't really sure when I called that the plant I have there's a succulent. I'm 50 now, and when I was maybe 10, our Sunday school group, the lady brought little cuts of this and gave it to, as a Mother's Day present. And my mother's kept this alive. Actually, the lady gave it to us. Hers died, and we gave it cutting back. It's called a chocolate violet or a vining violet, and it's got these red trumpet-looking flowers on it. They're beautiful, and it's really sicker than it's ever been. I know that, you know, it goes through cycles this time of year in Wisconsin. It's kind of hard on those kind of plants, but I'm thinking we're going to lose it if I don't do something. Have any suggestions how to boost its health?
First of all, I'm not familiar with that that common name, so I don't know the plant. But oftentimes, if a plant is sick, we can trace it back to the root system. So if you have propagated it from cuttings, I would certainly do that again to make sure that you can keep the plant if you lose the original plant. But then unpot it, take a look at the root system. If the soil looks bad, if the root system looks bad, then certainly repot it into fresh soil and see if that provides some help for it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, it's actually pretty easy to propagate it. I'm assuming that it probably comes from the jungle, and if a piece drops off and lands in dirt, it just finds its way into a root system. So pretty easy to propagate. I'll do that. Thank you so much for taking the call. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much for calling. And we have some open lines, and you can get on with your question as we talk with our guest today, Dan Marr, a succulent plant expert, about caring for and using succulents indoors and out. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Go to our Facebook page. You can post a photo and a question there at the Larry Mealer Show, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mealer here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mealer here on this edition of Garden Talk, talking succulents, indoors and outs, with our guest, Dan Marr. Great to have him along. Thank you so much for listening in. Lots of callers online with questions. We've got a Facebook comment from the Botanical Club of Wisconsin. They also sent a photo, and they note that we do have succulent plants growing in Wisconsin wild. We have three native succulent plants, two species of cacti, one's quite rare, and a small plant called Prairie Fame Flower. That's the one that's in the photo, which is related to Spring Beauty. Its flowers only open between 3 and 5 o'clock on sunny days.
That's interesting, Larry. Yeah. A lot of people think that succulents grow in only deserts, but mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have native succulent plants, including two or three species of native prickly pear cacti that grow right here in the state of Wisconsin. And in fact, there are true cacti that grow well up into the prairie provinces of Canada. So yeah. They've over the years, they found a way to figure out how to deal with the polar vortex.
There you go. Christine sent a Facebook photo of her jade plant. It's about 2.5 feet. It's a fairly, it doesn't flower very much, but it does well in the cool guest bedroom, she says.
Yeah, in the wintertime. Yes, they can take some coolness in the wintertime. Again, as much light as possible, even in the wintertime, if you can't grow it in bright light, putting it in cool conditions and reducing the watering will cut down on its growth. If it doesn't have good light, then it tends to get a little bit leggy and mm-hmm. the branches will droop a bit instead of being nice and compact. And so if you cut down on watering and lower the temperature a little bit, it'll be less likely to do that. So that's certainly a possibility. Jade plant and Sansevieria are probably the two most widely used succulents for houseplants throughout the entire world. And the reason for that is because you can do almost anything to them and they'll survive.
But they won't always flower.
Don't always flower. No, it's a light condition, light situation, again, for good flowering.
Tom and Poinette, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. I kind of have a follow-up question to your jade plant discussion. You had mentioned, I think, that if you give it more light, it may encourage flowering. I've had this thing out every summer, and on a couple of occasions, I've probably overexposed it, and it's gotten sunburned, but I've never had any blooms on it, any flowers.
How old
should I introduce that slowly to the sunlight, or?
Yes, certainly. But how old is the plant?
Oh, geez, I've had it probably 15 or more years.
Okay, and it's certainly old enough to bloom. So the next question is, what type of light does it get when it's indoors? Because, you know, it's probably indoors for 8 or 9 months of the year, and that's going to have an impact on it.
Yeah, that's correct. It's in the basement, in a window, and we kind of live in the woods, so it doesn't get any real direct sunlight. It gets light, but
I suspect that the issue is not so much the light in the summertime, but the light during the rest of the year. And even if you can augment that with a fluorescent light or even a light to just give it a little bit brighter conditions, it may bloom for you a little bit better. Your point about moving it out into the sun in the summertime is a very good point. Now, you're exposing it to fairly dark conditions when it's indoors. And
correct.
So if you move a plant like that outside, it needs to be moved out gradually. It needs to be exposed to light gradually. So initially, you can put a little bit of screening over it or a little cheesecloth over it or put it under a shade tree for, you know, a week or two and then gradually move it out into brighter light. But eventually, it should be able to take our full sunshine through most of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I, where I place it, I have it on my deck, and my deck faces west, and it gets really hot on that deck. So I may just find another spot for it.
Might be worth it.
Might do better in a less. It gets up to 120 degrees on that deck, you know, in the afternoon. So
well, they can tolerate it if they're introduced to it slowly. But you're right. Oh, okay. If you take it out of kind of a dark area and put it out there quickly, then the leaves could burn.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Christian in Morris, Minnesota. Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
Yeah. I've got a big plant of aloe vera in a big pot, and I was wondering how I would divide it into smaller pots so that it would grow larger or taller or something like that. Do you have any suggestions for me?
Yeah, aloe vera is very easy to repot. It produces a lot of what we call offsets or pups very easily at the base of the plant. And so what you will need to do, the best thing to do is just to take and unpot the plant entirely, remove the old soil. You should put it in new soil periodically anyway. And then you can simply strip off whatever number of little plantlets that you want to. And most of those should already come with already established roots. And then it's just a matter of taking those little plants with their roots and putting them in smaller pots with soil, and they should take off very easily.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. I used to get paper cuts all the time, and I don't know if I don't deal with as much paper now or what, or I'm opening fewer envelopes maybe, but I had an aloe vera plant. That took away the pain.
They're amazing plants. Their properties have been known literally for thousands of years. Aloe was one of the main trade items between Africa and the Middle East and in that area way, way back, 3,000-4,000 years ago.
That's really cool. And I love the fact that the pain would go just like that, gone. Sarah and Stevens Point, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about my aloe vera plant as well. My question was, I tried to repot it, and it's not doing very well. And I was wondering, what kind of soil should I have used? I mean, should I use kind of a mix between regular potting soil and cactus potting soil, because I didn't know anything else. Should I have put it in just straight cactus soil?
Probably not. I have a problem with the commercial cactus mixes that are out there. The commercial cactus mixes are pretty much just normal potting mixes that they've added sand to, or maybe just a little tiny bit more perlite or sponge rock added to them. And they really are not your most ideal succulent plant mixes. So if you repotted it and into fresh soil, and particularly if the root ball was not very big compared to the size of the pot that you planted it into, it may be that that soil is just retaining moisture a little bit too long. So I would I would take it out, look at it again, and see if the root systems look healthy. If so, just pot it back up again and go with it.
And
don't water. When you repot a succulent, don't water it right away. Let it sit for a week or two without any watering whatsoever, and then water it very gradually until the new root system develops.
So what kind of soil should I use?
Well, you can use a commercial potting mix, but you want to add more drainage material to it. And probably the easiest thing for people to find is perlite or sponge rock, which is available through through the garden centers. I don't like that material because it's very lightweight and it tends to float to the surface when you water it. So you can use things like aquarium gravel, or you can, if you have a feed store nearby, you can get a bag of poultry grit, which is kind of a sharp stone, small particle stone that works very, very well. You can use builder's sand, but run it through a window screen to get the fine material out of it and use the coarser particles. Any of those things just to add more drainage and more air spaces to the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you mix it up inside the soil or do you just put it on the bottom?
No, you mix it up with the soil and make that as part of your soil mix. And I would do a mix of about 50-50 of commercial potting mix and drainage material.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot for calling. It was a good good call, as they all are. Ben in Manitowoc, hello. Thank you for calling.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, I have a question. I can't tell you the names of these succulents, of course, but I have a large succulent in a large window, easily over 6 feet tall. Next to it are some smaller ones. The one has sort of pancake, flat, elliptical leaves that get heavy, drop off, but also root quickly. The little note at the bottom roots quickly. I've been putting those flat leaves in the container, the pot of this large six-footer. I'm wondering if combining those two is going to, are the root systems going to compete with one another, or is that, will they complement one another, or should I just dedicate a pot to these little other succulent leaves that fall off? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And, you know, in this case, I don't think it makes much difference. It's what you want to do from an aesthetic perspective, what looks
best.
That's
why I thought it looked nice that it was, you know, the pot was large. It's easily probably 12 inches in diameter to house this large one. And I thought it would look nice to have these other little cacti coming up. But then I thought maybe the root systems would compete somehow.
Not really. What you have is just a, kind of a really large container a garden, you know, with multiple species in it. And so, and you know, you can see that sort of thing all the time. So really not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Sure.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And Steve in Minneapolis. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, great. Hi, guys. Question for you. I grew up in Arizona, and I really miss these saguaro cactuses and these prickly pear type things. But most likely, my biggest question is there an indoor version of a small saguaro type cactus that one could keep indoors in a large pot? Have you ever seen this?
It depends upon how much you want it to look like a saguaro. There are the shape of a saguaro, which is a very upright plant. We call that a columnar cactus because it looks like a column. And there's literally probably hundreds of different types of columnar cacti. Some of them stay fairly small, maybe just a few feet tall, and some of them grow enormous like a saguaro does. And a lot of these other types are available in the garden centers. They don't all look exactly like saguaros, but they have that kind of same columnar shape. And so if you're okay with something that's a little bit different, I would say that there's a lot of opportunities out there for you. And, you know, you could just look around or look around on the internet and find something that you like. From the perspective of a true saguaro, our main problem with growing saguaros here, again, is they really are adapted for the full intense sunlight of the Sonora Desert. And trying to grow them indoors for 8 or 9 months of the year, we really can't replicate that very well. And chances are they just won't do as well for us.
Yeah. They're beautiful. I can see why Steve wants one. I guess they are beautiful plants.
They're amazing plants. They're just spectacular, yes.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Susan wondered about some bad rashes that she got from working with euphorbia in Master Gardener Project Gardens. What do you know? What chemicals might cause that?
That's a very, very good question to bring up. Euphorbias do have a sap which can be either toxic, cause rashes. Some of the really nasty ones will cause blisters. Some of the really, really nasty ones, if you get the sap in your eye, will actually cause blindness.
Wow.
And so they have to be, you have to handle them very, very carefully. Now, the rashes and the blisters will eventually go away, but it may take a few weeks for that to happen. So I strongly recommend when people are working with any type of euphorbia that has that type of latex white sappy material that they use gloves and long sleeve shirts and eye protection as well.
Talking about succulents today, care and use of succulents indoors and out. Always a pleasure to visit with Dan Maher. Dan Maher is an emeritus professor of entomology at the UW-Madison and a lover of succulent plants. And man, he knows a lot about succulents. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There are so many interesting plants out there, and I think some of the most fascinating are the succulents. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today for Garden Talk. Our guest, Dan Maher, is an emeritus professor of entomology, is an avid grower of succulents. And Dan, as always, thanks for spending time with us. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great. Great to talk to people out in the state that enjoy succulents.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we had a question. Euphorbia came up, and euphorbia sap. And, you know, you can get some good burns from that. But there are some treatments, are there not, for it?
Well, there's actually a natural remedy, and people who have euphorbias that prune them or handle them and sometimes may get sap on them, a lot of people who grow succulents grow this other plant as well. And interestingly enough, it's another succulent. And it doesn't have a common name, but I can give the scientific name, and maybe people can track it down if they want to. It is fairly commonly available through specialized succulent nurseries, and it's a plant that comes from the Canary Islands off of the northwest coast of Africa, of all places. But the name of it is Aeonium, and that's spelled A-E-O-N-I-U-M, and the particular species is Lindleyi, named after a fellow by the name of Lindley, and that's spelled L-I-N-D-L-E-Y. And so if you get a little bit of euphorbia sap on your hand and it's starting to burn and you have this plant, all you have to do is break the leaf. It's kind of like aloe vera in that regard. All you have to do is break the leaf of this and rub it over that area, and it provides relief from the euphorbia sap.
Very, very cool. So one plant helps you against another. Gary in Rhinelander has a question for you. Hi, Gary.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Enjoy the show very much.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got two quick questions. One is, have you ever heard of an Indian rope plant, at least by that name? And where can I get one? I really always love those. And one is that about a year ago, I picked up a Madagascar cactus, is what I told the name was. And probably a month ago, it lost all its leaves, and it grew all back. It's about 2 feet tall. Does this thing bloom, or is there anything else I can do besides putting it in a cold southern window? And help me out with these two if you can.
Okay, let's take the Indian rope or Hindu rope first. That's actually a type of vine that it's a particular form of a species. It's a in the group called Hoya, H-O-Y-A, and It's a particular cultivar. It's kind of a twisty stem, twisty leaved thing, but it is a vining species. And it's actually pretty readily available. I see it in garden stores pretty commonly. It is grown pretty commonly as a houseplant. It does have wonderful fragrant flowers on it if you give it the right lighting. If you can't find it in a local garden store, then certainly it is available on the internet through a variety of sources. If you can't find it under Indian rope, try Hindu rope, H-I-N-D-U. So that's a possibility. The other plant that you mentioned is not a true cactus. In fact, the proper common name for it should be Madagascar palm, not Madagascar cactus. And I know it's absolutely covered with long spines, but that's what the true common name is Madagascar palm. And it's typical. It's normal for it to lose its leaves in the wintertime. So what the cycle that you've seen is kind of a natural cycle for it. And again, it's something that can take as much light as you can give it throughout the year. And if you can move it outdoors in the summertime, that would be great for it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thanks for calling, Gary. And Jackie in Milwaukee, hello to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
As usual, I've got an odd. The first thing is I had Bloom Buster for regular flowering plants left over, and I put it on an Easter cactus, and it blossomed. It wasn't Easter. And I have others that I know I've got the tickets that say what they are. Try it sometime. You might be surprised. They bloom other times. But the question I have to ask is watering. What kind of water? A lot of people have water that comes into their house that isn't public. Could that have anything to do with the blossoming of whatever they have?
It's possible it could interfere with the watering. The main problem with most of Wisconsin water is it tends to be somewhat alkaline. And we have a lot of limestone in the state, and, you know, the water comes up from that, particularly if you're getting groundwater, if you're on a well or whatever. And the main problem with alkaline water is that when you mix fertilizer with it, the alkaline water keeps the fertilizer from being quite as available to the root system. And so the roots will actually, and this is true of any plant, not just succulent plants, but fertilizers tend to work better if you can acidify the water. So it's a good idea to do a water test. And if your water is pretty hard, if it's pretty alkaline, if you can add a little bit of just regular household vinegar to it and get the pH down somewhere around 5.5 or 6 in your fertilizer water, then the fertilizers will be much, much more helpful, much more taken up by the plant.
Hmm.
Oh, good.
All right. Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate the call. We have more callers online. You can join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Caller wanted to know, Dan, if you've written a book about succulents, and if, or if you're going to, or is there one you recommend?
Actually, I am writing a book, but it's probably not one that any of our listeners would be interested in. My particular interest in succulent plants is in the giant succulents, what I call succulent trees. And it's an area that's never been researched very much, and there really isn't a very good literature on it. So about 10% of the succulent plants are things that we can call trees, actually. But as far as a general purpose book, the one that I generally recommend, there are several out there. And if you go to your local bookstore and look in the plant section or the gardening section, oftentimes you can find succulent plant books. Or if you live in an area where there's a half-price bookstore nearby and go to the gardening section, you can usually find cactus and succulent books that are of more of a general nature. The one I normally recommend, and it's pretty commonly available, is by a person by the name of Miles Anderson. And he's written a very, very good general book, kind of a beginning book on cactus and succulents. A lot of really good information on how to grow them, a lot of nice pictures on identification and how to grow particular types of succulents. I'm not going to give you a title because the same book has come out under several different titles. But, you know, if you do an internet search, it's available from Amazon and from some of the other internet book dealers. If you do an internet search for cactus book, Miles Anderson, his book will pop up. And it's not very expensive, and it's one I do recommend.
S-O-N or S-E-N?
It's S-O-N.
S-O-N, okay.
Miles, M-I-L-E-S.
Let's turn to Gaines and Mosinee next. Oops. I'll get to him. There you are. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I was wondering if it's beneficial to use fertilizers with indoor succulents, and if so, what and how to do it?
Really good question. All plants need nutrition, even cactus plants. It's just that they have learn to live with relatively low levels of nutrition, particularly nitrogen nutrition, because they don't get a lot of it in a lot of the environments that they grow in. But yes, I fertilize all of my cactus and succulents regularly during the growing season. So that would be starting For me, I move my plants outdoors usually sometime in early June, and then I fertilize usually through mid-September and do it every couple weeks. And you can use any type of conventional houseplant or soluble fertilizer that you can get at a garden center. I would recommend using it only at about quarter to half strength. The directions for houseplants that are on there tend to be for plants that like a little bit more nitrogen. And if you use it at full strength frequently, then it might make the plants just grow a little bit leggy and stretch a little bit too much and lose their compact shape. So, fertilize during the growing season, but not when they're dormant in the wintertime.
What about the fertilizers that are advertised for succulents? Are those good to use?
You can use those. Generally, they're a little bit more expensive, and it's not necessary. The other thing I would indicate is whatever fertilizer you do use, make sure that it does have the micronutrients in it, or occasionally use a special fertilizer that does have micronutrients.
Okay. Right.
Thanks a lot for calling, Gaines. I want to go back to the propane topic. Remember earlier we had a caller whose Christmas cactus would not bloom in a house heated by propane. And Laura on Facebook commented and said, I think that caller was onto something. African violets will not bloom in a house where there is a natural gas leak. For example, sometimes people can't keep their African violets in a kitchen where the stove has a pilot light. Propane has more quote-unquote smell added to it than natural gas to alert a leak. So maybe there's a correlation. The cactus might be sensitive to the propane or to the smell additive. Worth looking into.
Maybe. Yes, interesting. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I wasn't either. That's very interesting. Autumn in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm wondering, where are the cactuses and succulents coming from, and what are we doing to protect them from becoming an endangered species?
Are you talking about the ones that are available for purchase? Where are they coming from?
Yes, because I've read articles about how they're being stolen and entire ecosystems are being damaged in certain parts of the world.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it's kind of a complicated question. First of all, the plants that are normally available in the cactus and succulent trade, whether that be through some of the specialized nurseries that you can purchase from online, or whether that be from your local garden center or discount store or whatever, those are all artificially propagated. There are very, very large nurseries in various parts of the country, particularly the Southwest United States, but even places like up in Canada, where you would just be amazed at the millions of cactus and succulent plants that are grown artificially, either from seed or from cuttings, every year to supply this trade. So the ones that you can buy, that you can commonly buy, are all propagated plants. Those are not field collected plants. The larger question about these plants and habitat, the biggest worry with protection of these plants and habitat is just the loss of habitat through farming and expansion and human activities. That's much, much more of an issue than people going out and digging plants up in nature. We don't like to do that, and there is some of that that takes place, but there are other larger issues which are much more important.
Is there a book or website that talks more about that?
About the conservation of cacti?
Yes.
Yes, I think if you do it in an internet search, you could probably find thousands and thousands of articles on it.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks, Autumn. I appreciate your call. We had, we had a lot of photos and such on Facebook. Here's one from Chris, who says, I love my blooming succulents in the winter. Here's one with over 100 flowers on it now. They're partially closed today because it's a little dreary out.
It's an amazing plant. It's a plant that we wouldn't think of as being a true cactus, but it is. It's one of these rainforest types of cactus, so it would grow epiphytic hanging from trees. It has an interesting common name. The individual little stem segments look like little bottles And so sometimes it's called the drunkard's dream. But this is the time of the year it flowers. It's interesting. I've gone for years without seeing pictures of this particular plant, and this is the second question I've got on it in a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it's a beautiful. I hope, listen, if you're listening in, I hope you'll go to my Facebook page and see some of these photos because they're really beautiful. Let's go to the Larry Mueller Show. Bob sent a photo. His epicactus needs a lot of indirect light.
Yeah, beautiful white flowered.
Oh man,
cactus.
Look at the flowers.
Yeah, some of these epiphytic. This is probably a hybrid. There's a lot of hybridization that's gone on with some of these really large flowered hanging basket types of cacti, and some of them get flowers that are up around 8 or 10 inches in diameter, and they come in a variety of colors. That's a beautiful one.
Yeah, he's had it for 15 years, and getting it outside, you need to protect it from the midday sun. But he says it doesn't open fully till about 11 p.m., and it's fragrant only at night.
Yeah, so a lot of these, particularly the white-flowered ones, are actually moth-pollinated. They're pollinated by night-flying moths, and so they only open up at nighttime. And so you have to be out in the middle of the night with a flashlight to really appreciate them.
And they only flower, his flowers 6 inches across, but it only lasts one night.
Yes.
So if you happen to be out of town or sleep through it,
you miss it.
You miss it. Oh, my goodness. But it really, I tell you what, it's worth the chance given the
you know, the individual flower oftentimes lasts only one day, but many times they will produce a succession of flowers over maybe a week or two.
Yeah. Marvin in Menominee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry and guest. I'm sorry I missed your name. I was calling regarding, I have a planter that is quite packed. In fact, it's splitting its seams with some pretty good sized barrel type cactuses that I have had for years. And I know that the roots are either really very shallow or so minuscule that if they come out of there, there's not a lot of root. How do you take those out and transplant them?
Yeah, I would unpot the whole thing. And what if you've got multiple plants in there, the roots are going to be intertwined. And so you just want to carefully work with those and get them so that the plants are separated. During that process, there's probably going to be some root breakage. And whenever we transplant a plant like that, the concern that we have is that microorganisms from the soil can move into the root system and cause root rot through those wounds. So after you take the plant out, what we like to do is just leave it sit out for a period of several days until those wounds heal over. And then you can put the plants back in soil and start all over again. And again, the key here is to make sure that the pot that you put them in is not too big for the root system. So if it has a fairly small root system, use an appropriate size pot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it, unlike non-cactus plants, you don't need to keep those roots moist.
No, in fact, it's better to let them dry out for a while. I put a plant on my bench and it may sit there for weeks on end before I get around to repotting it. And the problem is that the a lot of the really small feeder roots may dry out and die if you leave it out for more than a couple of days. So when you start rewatering it very cautiously until it's obvious that it's been reestablished.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then one quick point that caller that called in, I think two callers ago, about her concern with cactuses being eradicated from the wild. I think, at least in the U.S., in the southwestern part of the country where the saguaro cactuses are,
yeah,
they actually, I think, tag those. And if you have one in your yard, recently anyway, that you purchase and put in, there's a tag on it, and they know where it came from, and you own it legally and all that kind of stuff. You really can't steal them and use them anymore.
That's true. That's very true. In fact, there are some rescue operations out there. The Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society operates a big rescue operation in Tucson. Wherever there's going to be any type of development, whether it be mining or a new shopping center or a housing project or whatever, this project is so well known that they contact the club, and the club will go out and they will remove all the potentially endangered plants and then make them available for use in landscaping. And like you say, every time they do that, those plants have to be tagged so that they know that they are rescue plants.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never been between Phoenix and Tucson through that area where they where they grow, it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really
it's a different world.
Yeah, it really is a different world. I played golf in Tucson at a course that when it was built kind of into the hills, and they took out the saguaros and put them in a sort of a nursery, moved them to a nursery, and then finished the course, and then returned the saguaros to, I don't know if it was exactly the same spot, but to the others. And there were, I don't know, a couple hundred. I mean, there were a lot.
Yeah, they've developed a very good technology for successfully transplanting those things, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike in Oshkosh, hello.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. I've got a plant that I got from my sister probably about 20 years ago, and I would like to propagate it if possible. I call it a string of pearls. It's a succulent that's got little, the size of small marbles hooked together in a chain. Is that the proper name?
That's a wonderful name. That's the most common name for it. It actually is a member of our daisy family, so which is kind of interesting. They don't bloom very often unless you give them, again, good light, but that's exactly what it is, a string of pearls, hanging, drooping strings of little green marble-like things.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much for calling. You know, I am really sorry we never got into the history. You're such a great historian about the background of a lot of these plants. I hope you'll come back and we can talk about that some more.
I'd love to, Larry.
And just talk more about succulents. It's a real pleasure, Dan. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Dan Maher, emeritus professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and man, he knows a lot about succulent plants, doesn't he? It's been a real pleasure to have him with us, and certainly we'll get him back again. And I really do want to talk with him a little bit more about some of the history of these succulents. Stay with us.